cry, you can't stop us now.
Naughty, naughty computer. Bad, naughty, nasty computer. Shame, 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 naughty computer. Naughty, nice computer. Nice, soft, naughty computer. Oh, computer.
Yeah, buddy.
This just in, Mike Hell, in fact, did spell aggravation properly on our website and our newsletter. I am in complete...
Bonehead of the day.
Yes, thank you.
That goes to Ken.
I'm the renegade of dumb today. I told you my brain's not here yet. It's still frozen.
Have you swallowed your brain?
Mike Hell, I do apologize.
This is a public apology which you will get from Ken Colburn.
Rarely.
Yeah, very rarely.
Very rarely.
So Mike Hell... You spelled it very properly, and when I said you're somewhere between English and crazy, I meant that, but...
Right. It's all good. All right, we're talking about email aggravation, some of the stuff that drives us crazy. Obviously, top on the list, with a bullet, number one. What's the number one aggravation you think our clients see on a regular basis there, John?
That's a toughie.
The toughie. Could it be...
You've got spam.
Bam. I would have to say... Spam for 200, please.
Yes, absolutely.
That's enough of that.
All right. Now, the problem with fighting spam is there is no single product method process that's going to give you any kind of success.
The better you get at fighting spam, the more likely you are to fight with spam, non-spam, meaning you'll filter out all the junk messages, but the better you are at filtering those junk messages, the better you usually get at filtering messages that aren't so junk as well. And then on the flip side of that, if you put on real loose filters, you get hardly any spam, but at least you get all your real email. So it's really hard to get that happy kind of medium.
You mean you get a lot of spam if your filters are loose? You hardly get any or something.
Yeah, whatever you said.
Yeah.
It sounds
so
good that way.
To that end, we have posted on our website. If you go to datadoctors.com, click on the radio show section, you'll see the bottom section. There's a huge resource base for this week's show because there's just so many aggravations of email. This is actually like a three-show topic here. But the bottom half, we'll talk about processes for AOL users, for Juno users, for Hotmail and MSN users, Outlook Express, Outlook users. We've got links to all that stuff. So if you fall into one of those categories, go check out those resources. We also have several columns that I've written over the last year or so that give you tips on things not to do that are going to encourage your name getting on these lists.
Like we talked about before, when you receive spam, throw it away. Don't reply to it and click on the link that says take me off your list. Don't go to the website and put in your email address to remove yourself from the list, unless it's someplace that's reputable. If it's someplace that you signed up for in the first place, for example, you sign up to receive our newsletter. You had to go to our website to do that, so you asked for it. You had to give a confirmation email. You asked for it again, right? Someday you want to get off that list because we're going to assume it's because you're moving, and, you know, why would you ever want to get off the list? But let's just say you did want to. You can go and unsubscribe, and you do that either by replying or going to the website to do that. That's an okay thing to do because you asked to get it in the first place.
That's called opt-in. You
then
opt out. Exactly.
But when you never opted in the first place...
Don't opt out.
Don't opt out.
Right.
Just delete it.
Here's another aggravation. Kay writes, my aggravation are the vast number of intelligent and aware people who forward email hoaxes. And I gotta agree. I mean, no other walk of life do we just take some unconfirmed piece of information and just send it to everybody we know. Let's call everybody on the phone. No. For example, they don't consider the economics of Bill Gates' offer to give $264 to every person who receives a particular email. You know all of these. Why can't they check Snopes.com, S-N-O-P-E-S.com, before they send ridiculous messages? R-I-D-I-K-K-I-L-I-S. I like that. That's a new one.
That's a Mike Hell spelling.
Ridiculous messages to the world.
To the whole world?
I've given up gentle responses, giving the web addresses and the real scoop. So.
That's actually one of the problems why spam exists in the first place and why this kind of problem exists. Email is so easy and so convenient to use.
And very powerful.
And very powerful that you can send a message to half the planet in really a small amount of time, and it really takes no effort. If you had to pick up the phone to call your friends to warn them, you probably wouldn't spend the time because it takes a lot of time to pick up the phone, look up their number, dial the number, hope you get them, leave a message. That's a lengthy process. And so... That's why email has become the biggest way where you see all these hoaxes distributed is because it takes no effort, no time, no money, no cost. You just click a few buttons and boom, you've now sent out a bunch of garbage, and you thought you were helping someone, but really,
right.
Yeah.
Nobody appointed you the news agency of the internet. Don't try to be it. Don't assume just because it looks official in the email that, well, it must be right, right, John?
Wrong.
It's not right. It's just we did the email mass mailing math at one time that if you have 25 people in your address book and you send this to everybody you know message, and they each have 25 people and they send it to everybody they know and they each have 25. After 5 cycles, it's just shy of 10 million messages.
Yep,
that's a lot of traffic on the old internet.
The old multi-level marketing thing, the whole pyramid scheme. It happens almost instantaneously on the internet, so you have to understand how powerful that email is.
The internet might possibly be the world's largest pyramid scheme.
It is.
There you go.
Don't take part. Just say no. That's the new campaign. Just say no. Please just say no. All right. Another huge pet peeve for avid email folks. What are you pointing at?
Maybe we go to Adam.
We talked to Adam.
But yeah,
oh, okay.
You go ahead and finish your thought.
Huge pet peeve for people that have been using email for a long period of time, for when they start getting mail from people that are clearly are just starting to use email. There are what's called netiquette. Man, rented lips. Netiquette.
I thought you looked different.
If you are new to email, you have to learn the rules of the road. For instance, if you're lazy and put your all caps on, your caps lock on, and just type the whole message in all caps. Not only does it show that you're lazy.
Watch your ears here.
Yeah, you might want to take the headphones off, John. When you do that, you're yelling!
I warned you. People on the radio don't have headphones on their head. So
The internet equivalent of all caps is you use that for an emotional response to tell people you're yelling at them. So, if you don't intend to yell at somebody with your email, don't use the all caps.
I saw several people smile at that. We might have hit a nerve.
Yeah, I'm sure. Punctuation seems to be...
Don't need it.
Nah. Yeah, just keep on going. No periods, no commas, no capitalization.
Or about every 3 words, you put like a semicolon and then continue. It's like, hey, Ken, break. Hey, break. What's going on here?
it's really... Capitalize the I's, please.
I'm guilty of that one. I use a lot of hyphens for some reason. But
I do that too. but at least there's some. At least that's better than no punctuation. People that just write, hey, so what do you think about the weather? And I also wanted to know if you think that I should forward this to that guy. And hey, by the way, there's this new meeting we're going to next week. And also,
see, the thing is, you can leave an ignorant voicemail, you know, and sound kind of goofy, and that's okay. It's, you know, it's going to get erased real quick. Email is forever. Yeah. It's a permanent record of your ignorance.
It's hard to misspell things when you're speaking.
Yeah, well, there's that too. But take the time to read the email before you send it. If you're new to email, even if you're not new to email, take a second. 9 times out of 10, you're going to find that you inferred something that you didn't mean to. Whoops, that would have come across the wrong way.
Whoops.
Or, wait a minute, that made no sense at all. I mean, just take a second, read it, and don't write a novel. Email is not for 3-page novels. Don't do it.
What's for 3-page novels?
Novels.
Oh, novels.
Yeah.
Books.
Be very short and sweet and to the point.
Write yourself
your emails.
An e-book if you want to do a novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Microsoft Word is good for that.
Word to your mother.
Hey, our 13-year-old, soon-to-be 14-year-old protege, genius? No, he's not our protege.
Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
That simplifies it all. Adam is here.
Adam is an acronym for something.
Yeah, I haven't figured that one out quite yet.
So you come to us every week with some little nugget of knowledge, and this week you're going to tell us about a program called what?
Microsoft Outlook 2003.
Oh!
Never heard of it.
You mean the 900-pound gorilla email program?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us all about it, won't you?
Well, those of you who use email, chances are you use either Outlook or Outlook Express.
Why do you say that?
Well, the exception of those in AOL land, you can't really call that email, and then it's webmail.
Hey, don't do that when Ken's drinking.
I almost snorted hot chocolate right through the nose. Thank you. Right onto my keyboard. Yeah, nice visual. Huh?
Anyway, back to your Outlook or Outlook Express, and most people use it, and AOL isn't real email. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of people use the free one that comes with Windows, Outlook Express.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good email program. It works fine, but it doesn't have as many features as the expensive one does.
And we all know we're feature freaks around here.
Oh, yeah. Well, Outlook 2003 is made by Microsoft, if you didn't guess by the Microsoft part, and it comes with Microsoft Office, that really expensive thing.
Yeah.
That's like $150 for the small version, or I should say the...
For the really cheap version.
Yeah, the cheap one.
That comes with almost nothing, but everything comes with Outlook that's Office, I think.
Okay. Yeah, and you can also purchase Outlook.
Don't let me hurt you.
On its own, but anyway.
Yeah. So if you want an email program that's got a lot of features in it...
Like,
email, of course. There's calendars, contact lists, task lists.
Reminders, that's a big, big one. You can not only put something on a calendar, but you can say, remind me of this by popping some junk up and making a sound.
Yeah, and don't forget the sticky notes.
Yeah, the new sticky notes in Outlook 2003.
Yep.
So it's literally a virtual version of the 3M little sticky notes, huh?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Now, the
they didn't want to call it Post-it and be a complete ripoff.
You kind of passed over reminders kind of quickly, but I want to kind of stop and talk about that for a second, because there's two kinds of reminders. The reminders that everybody's used to in their task lists and their calendars, that's all well and good. But the thing that I really like about Outlook over Outlook Express is you look at all your mail. You know, if it's like us guys, we 300-500 pieces a day.
A day?
Yeah.
Every 3 hours.
All right, whatever we're up to now. You have, you know, what you want to do is you want to touch your emails once. You don't want to have to try to remember where you put things and what have you. So what's cool about Outlook Express is as you're looking at mail, you go, okay, I want to deal with this in 2 days. You can right-click on it and say, send me a reminder in 2 days. And then, boom, in 2 days when you open up your email program, it's going, remember, you needed to deal with these email messages. So that's a really cool
feature.
It helps
you kind of organize and schedule your life.
Yep.
If you're in business and you use email in business, you should strongly consider Outlook.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
See, I think that's just about it for the features. It also has, over Outlook Express, it's got, I believe Microsoft says that it has better junk email filters and...
Yeah, there's some stuff built into the newest version, 2003, that helps deal with junk email and spam in a little bit better way than they've ever done in the past.
Right.
You know, in my opinion, you still probably need some extra little helper programs we've got suggested at our website at datadoctors.com/, or click on the radio section, you'll see those helper programs there.
Yeah, actually, that's another good point. A lot of the really sophisticated spam filters are designed only for Outlook.
Right.
And so, like Outlook Express can't use our favorite spam bays.
Yeah.
That's on our resources today. But if you have Outlook Express, no go.
Nope.
So... Adam!
Yeah.
Thank you, my man.
Okay.
You're doing a great job, as usual.
And I believe I will be in studio next week, according to Michael.
I believe that is the case.
Next week?
Oh. Huh?
No,
you're going to fill in for Brandon. He's going to be gone again.
I'm going to be gone like 2 weekends in a row, the 31st and the 7th. So pick one of those.
So you're coming out to the golf, the FBR Open with us.
He is coming in next week, but if he wants to come the next weekend, he can come that too.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll figure it all out.
No
Either
sense.
Way, you know where to find Adam. You find him right here on the computer corner.
Email me.
You betcha. All right, it is the Data Doctors here with the computer corner. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about email aggravation. With the speed
of light. This is a great first date, Monica. We're really clicking, aren't we? Aren't we? Aren't we?